The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Hey, welcome back. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a nice day yesterday. I know some didn't. It's just that kind of a world we live in. Let's find out what happened in South Dakota with Dean Henderson. Hello, my friend. What's going on? How was yesterday?
Jim.
Did you have a little time out? A little nice, warm, comfy,
yeah,
cozy,
man.
Happy? Good job.
Yeah, good. We ate the turkey, man. How about you? Did you have a good day?
Well, I just me, so there's not much going on.
Did you?
I worked out. I raked leaves. I mulched leaves. I work, you know. I do stuff. Try to get outside for a few hours to, you know, keep the body moving. So it was okay.
Food? Did you eat some good food at least? I mean,
not really. I just kind of ate.
Really?
My normal dinner. I shouldn't even say this, but
I
only do organic food. It's I'll have two, and it's all organic, eggs. I have an avocado, an organic avocado. I'll have organic tomatoes that I grew myself. I'll have two eggs, and that'll be a sandwich. And I have other things around it. And it's not heavy food. It's light, keeps me feeling like I'm not weighted down. When you eat heavy, you feel heavy. And then you eventually get heavy. So I keep it real light. And I only eat once a day. That's all.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Anyway.
That's smart. Yeah, I think that's really smart.
Yeah. And I have a nutrition drink with all the supplements that I talk about. And so, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I was a kid. Nobody, I can't say this really, but I don't know how anybody could have liked turkey dinners more than I did. Like you and everybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful American. It's a tradition. It's a good time. It is a Thanksgiving thing, even though it's a sacrifice of a bird. That's what the bird was raised for. I understand the logic behind it, but damn, a good turkey dinner is awfully tough to beat.
Really, you know. It is really. But yeah, so yeah, you know, just me and Jill. But we were invited somewhere, but we snowed a little bit and. Yeah, so we just ended up staying here, and it was great. And,
good,
yeah,
good. Yeah. There's no place like
stuff,
home,
yeah.
Dean. There's no place
man,
like home.
No, man, I mean, I'm a hermit kind of that way, yeah. Hard to get me out of here. Out of my home.
Oh, hey, listen, I've been referred to as a Howard Hughes type also. So I have no problem being alone.
It's underrated, you know, it's for sure.
Hey,
well,
I like
very
that.
Underrated.
It is underrated. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
You know,
so anyway,
it is.
To each his own, and I just hope that all of you, in these terrible, terrible times, there's big developments today. Big. And let me just do a little background here, and then we'll get Dean to analyze it for us. These stories are going to hit in about an hour, maybe a little less. For a long time now, I think most of you who have been watching the Ukraine-U.S. war against Russia, okay? And one of the things that Russia has always said is they will not tolerate Ukraine joining NATO. Now, if you understand what the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is, it's an American creation, basically. We run it. They're pretty much financially involved on their own terms, but we do run it. Russia said, no, we do not want Ukraine in NATO. Why? Because I don't know how many nations are in NATO, 12, 14, something like that. Because a NATO state member, when in trouble, automatically derives full support from all the other members in NATO. In this case, military support. See, that's why Russia didn't want NATO in there. And to this day, we all know that NATO is heavily involved with that war, but officially it's not supposed to be. So here's the deal, Dean. Now, this, I don't know if you've heard about this. It's not fully certified, but I'm willing to bet on it. I think the Russians knew. I don't think there are any secrets on this planet to speak of. Here's one headline. I call it U.S.-NATO. Okay. U.S.-NATO may be invited, in quotes, to send 100,000 peacekeepers to Ukraine. Russia released this intelligence today and says the plan is to occupy and then partition Ukraine into four sections. And it is not acceptable to Russia under any circumstances. Trump's regime no doubt knows about this plan. Is this what Trump was talking about when he said he was going to end the war in 24 hours by putting Ukraine in NATO and then having NATO send 100,000 troops to be peacekeepers? This is a big development. Here's another story. NATO troops may come to Ukraine, and more astonishing details of the Oreshnik missile. This is by Military Summary, and I use them a lot. They're very good. The guy's an excellent commentator. To back up the Russian release of the intel that is suggesting that the decision has been made to bring Ukraine into NATO and then to send 100,000 peacekeepers to support Zelensky and the rest, came from Russia. To back that up, Zelensky today is offering to end the so-called hot phase of the war, the shooting phase of the war, in exchange for NATO membership. So he's saying, I'll stop fighting if NATO will let me in Ukraine. If NATO does let Ukraine in, NATO could step right in to Ukraine. And there you have 100,000 NATO troops 200 miles from Moscow. It ain't gonna work, friends. It isn't gonna work. Putin threatens Kiev, or Kyiv, with the new Oreshnik hypersonic missile. Boris Johnson again today called for NATO troops on the ground in Ukraine. He's called for that several times. Here's another indicator. And another headline, Trump, this is my headline, Trump will be a war president. Not only will he continue funding Israel's genocidal wars, but his Ukraine war envoy, General Keith Kellogg, is a super hawk. He's not putting people in there who are looking for peace. Kellogg is a hawk, has been his whole career. So this is looking like it's taken a surprising turn for those of us on the outside. Now we know that it does appear that the big Trump card is Ukraine going into NATO, and NATO instantly sending 100,000 troops into Ukraine. Russia will not tolerate that, I guarantee it. So there you go. Any thoughts on this? Take your time.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree, and I think it's all becoming clear because, you know, you have Mike Waltz, you know, Trump's national security advisor.
Oh, yeah.
Choice.
Yeah.
Brad mouthing Putin the other day, and yeah, then he appoints Sebastian
again. He did. He did, yeah. Again. Yeah. Well, Waltz Waltz is another war hawk. Look, these are all whatever labels you want to use. These are Zionist war hawks. That's what this is.
No, I mean, and so it's confirmed. And so Gorka, Sebastian Gorka, is the other one. Yeah. Point of that guy.
I played that clip. I saw that clip. I played it.
Okay. Yeah. He's MI. I think he's MI6. You know, Gorka's MI6.
So you're seeing
the British intelligence really putting the heat on right now.
Yep.
Putting the screws on. So that's really who's pushed the whole Ukraine from the minute they Zelensky was elected and he ran an anti-war agenda, you know, make peace with Russia, and then he gets in power. What happens? The MI6 gets to him and they make him do just the opposite and declare war on Russia and pull out of Minsk 1 and 2. And they're still pushing this whole thing, London is. And so more overtly than I've ever seen him push anything, honestly, because even in World War II, they let the U.S. do the or the propaganda part. So I don't know. It's possible that Trump's going to try to do this, you know, segment thing. And I heard the thing about Zelensky today saying, yeah, you know, I'll quit the hot war if you let me join NATO. Well, Russia doesn't care if you quit the hot war or not. You're getting your ass kicked every day. You're losing. I mean, you're just getting pushed back further and further.
They're way over a million dead now.
Yeah. And just, yeah, now they want, you know, conscript teenagers and everything else. And so
that's part of the, hold on, let me add that. I forgot. NATO, as one of its, in this story that's coming out now, NATO will move in with 100,000 troops into Ukraine and will train and draft 100,000 more Ukrainian civilians. So there'll be 200,000 troops right there in addition to whatever they've got left. So that's another part of this thing. Allegedly, but the Russians let it go, and they're doing it on purpose. I guess it's kind of like a Hail Mary, one last chance. Let's let it out and see if they wake up. You know, the West has got to wake up.
Yeah, and that's how stupid Biden is. You know, he thinks giving them the OTACOMs and the, you know, the landmines somehow that's going to give them leverage. And just how stupid they are with Israel. I think Israel actually defeated Hezbollah. It's like, in fact, Hezbollah has declared victory and they ran them out, and they had to fold, and now they're all desperate, so they're firing up their Takfiri terrorists in Syria again. They went after Aleppo today. Russians bombed the shit out of them with airplanes. You know, people don't even know that's going on. Russia's bombing the al-Nusra front again in Syria because, Israel lost and had to pull out of Lebanon, and so now they're trying to go after Syria because that's where the arms are coming through from Iran to Hezbollah.
Gotcha.
And so,
isn't that funny? The Jews
lie. They tell us they're winning, and they're going to join NATO, and they're going to do all these things.
Right.
But you know what?
Right.
It doesn't really matter because they're going to get their ass kicked. And that's doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden. And they're just you're right though about Trump. He's a war president. He's everything's indicate all this stuff. You know, Marco Rubio. He's beholden to the Pahlavi family, the Shah. You know, of Iran. Those people.
Oh, yeah.
The Palestinians.
Yeah.
He's compromised. Yeah. He's a drug trafficking Cuban exile sort of thing. And too, and it's just horrible. And the Huckabee, this guy, he's a
rabid
guy. Don't even believe Palestinians exist. So, no, it's all writings on the wall. Trump's just deceived us, deceived everybody again. You know, he's always going to save the working class. So he's going to, you know, make peace. And I think, you know, I said a long time ago the establishment wanted Trump again. And then when Biden bowed out, I thought, well, maybe they want Kamala. But no, they wanted Trump. Because, you know, Trump's great. But he's the guy that'll just ignite World War III and be an idiot. And they can blame it on him, too. And it'll be easy because the media and the intelligence people and the establishment already have him set up to be blamed, right? Trump. We told him so, right? And so, this is all looking like this is what's going to happen. Unless, I don't know what. I don't think unless anything. I think this is going to happen. But you know,
I think,
Putin's going to hit Kyiv. He said he's going to hit the power centers in Kyiv with this new missile.
They hit those. They hit them today. And many more of them. The thing about Kyiv is, people don't know this. You know this. Kyiv is an historic city, kind of on the same par with St. Petersburg, and Putin doesn't necessarily want to destroy the city. And I'm thinking that, all right, well, you give 24 hours notice, evacuate the city. And then you use a EMP pulse, or maybe even a neutron bomb. I don't know what. Anything to keep from destroying the landscape and the real estate. So sure. I just don't. There's so many red lines now that have been mocked and shredded and laughed and pissed upon, excuse me, by the West that Russia has laid out. It's over 30 now. Over 30 red lines that the Russians have laid out that have been mocked by the West.
I know.
That's a lot. And Trump is one thing, but Putin has his own problems. And sooner or later, the people in Russia are going to say, well, what the hell's going on here? You know, you keep saying this, but you're not doing anything.
Yeah, we'll see. New defense minister. You know, we'll see how that shakes out. Because a lot of people were criticizing Shoigu for being too soft, going too slow. And I think that, you know, so we'll see. The guy's meeting today. He was meeting with
Well, that's what Prigozhin said. He did not like Shoigu at all. No. He's a bureaucrat. He's not even a military veteran.
That's right. So, you know, I think it is. And I'm sensing a little more urgency with Putin, a little more like, I think he's finally realizing just how pure evil he's up against. Like, I don't think he really comprehended it because, where he lives, people are generally decent and, you know, people aren't like this. They don't act like this. They don't, you know, they're just not psychopaths. He's not used to it, you know, and I get it. But now I think he gets it and I think he's taking it more seriously. He kind of can see it when he's, and just his actions, just, you know, the fact that he set off that, what the hell name of the whatever the name
the
of
Ereshnik,
it is, but it's a badass weapon.
The Ereshnik missile.
And that's a badass weapon, and it can't really be stopped, and he's basically saying, we have military superiority, so you better back up, and now is the West smart enough to do so? I don't know that, but...
Well,
I, the
if they do this Ukraine thing with NATO, believe me, this is going to lead to nowhere good.
No, that's just
and I can tell you another thing. This is what Russell Bentley told me several times. He said, if the Ukraine war is paused now and the Donbass line is certified after all these dead people, it's going to be viewed by most Russians as a defeat.
Mm-hmm.
They want Ukraine flattened and completely neutralized. And if Ukraine goes into NATO, dear friends, remember that NATO will have a base right there. The whole western two-thirds of Ukraine will be right below Moscow, and the Russians won't stand for that. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't either.
No,
I wouldn't do it.
U.S. military, brand new U.S. military base, 100 miles from the Russian border.
Right in Poland. Right. That's right.
That's crazy. That's, I mean, think about that. How would we react to that? A Russian base in Mexico, 100 miles from
100 miles from the border. Yeah, that's right.
Whatever. I mean, you know.
Oh, your point is perfect. Oh, and I have another ad to the the Jewish war. Let me tell you this. They were losing, as Dean already said, they were getting their butts kicked by the Hezbollah fighters and other groups. They were. They didn't win. They're pulling out. What did they start to do that forced Hezbollah to accept a peace, a cessation of combat? They began doing to Beirut exactly what they've done in Gaza, leveling apartment building after apartment building, residential neighborhoods. They go after the civilian populace. The Jews love to kill civilians. Look at Gaza, for God's sakes. Come on, you know. And that's why Hezbollah went for the... We call it a peace treaty, but it's not. It's just a cessation of combat. Because Israelis were getting beat badly, like they did in 2006. So they had to give it up. So they start to kill the civilian population. And that's too much for any person of goodwill to tolerate. So
and if you watch any news from anywhere, if you see Lebanese people interviewed, and I mean, I've probably seen 100 different Lebanese people interviewed by I don't know how many different TV stations because I surf around the international news and stuff. And every single one of them, there's two things. Every single one of them thanks Hezbollah for their sacrifice, even if they're not in the party. And every single
they've
one
lost
of them,
4,000 dead Hezbollah, 4,000 dead.
Yeah, and every single one of them, you know, basically says we won, you know, and meaning the people of Lebanon, not meaning Hezbollah, meaning the people of Lebanon. So what's going to happen is you've driven Hezbollah closer now to the Lebanese military than ever, and it pretty much integrated it and their ally. I mean, you've made that whole country love Hezbollah. You know, that's what you've done. And because that's how stupid they are. So now it's solid, and now when the Lebanese army comes to the south, you know, south of the Litani River, which is, the, you know, part of the deal, that pretty much means Israel now has a new enemy, like, permanently there, and Hezbollah can sort of hide behind them. So that's, you know, and Iran has these missiles, these FARs, 1 and 2 missiles, same thing. With the Russian missile, there's no response. The Israelis can't shoot it down. It's too low. It glides too slow and too low that they can't take it out.
Different
with anything,
tactics,
even
but it's the Iron Dome is like an iron sieve. It won't stop.
It's a failure. And the THAADs is the same. The recent thing that we sent them is the same. So they're over a barrel. So what we're looking at here is the Israelis wanted the ceasefire more than anybody. Because they were just handed a break. I mean, they're getting 200 rockets a day in the northern and central Israel. Now central Israel is just getting bombed to hell. And all military bases. The house of Netanyahu was hit, for Christ's sakes. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happened. So, you know, that's all happening. And they wanted a break. And Ukraine wants a break. And they're trying to make it look like, oh, you know, we have this advantage. But this is what they do. This is, look, they're just liars. I mean, that's all Western intelligence is it just, they make up stories, they lie, and mostly it's for domestic consumption, so it's for me and you, you know, it's to brainwash the American people. It's not anymore to brainwash foreign people like it used to be, or, you know, and that actually did used to be more like that, but now they've turned to the domestic population, so they have to tell you that Israel's winning and Ukraine's winning, so that you wave your, whatever, your stupid Israeli flag or your stupid Ukrainian flag, or however stupid you are, if you love singing that, wave those flags.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I guess. Yep. But, wow. I just want to burn those flags every time I see them, but I don't see them.
They really are symbolic of not only mental stupidity, but evil on top of it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah.
I don't see. I don't see the Jewish state ever admitting to reality. They concoct anything they want, anytime, and they were breaking the truce almost immediately, multiple times. Yeah. And when you look at what they were doing to suburbs in Beirut, going after civilian men, women, and children, that's what the Jews do. They go after the civilian populace and try and decimate it. And how many times have we seen stories about a Knesset member or somebody in the military saying, we want to kill all of them? Who does that? This is not normal.
Yeah, who does that?
That's subhuman behavior. It's not an advanced culture.
Yeah. No, it's they live on deception. Again, and, you know, that's why they created al-Nusra, they created Daesh, they created al-Qaeda, they created all these terrorist organizations pretending to be Islamists, pretending so they could blame the Muslims and make you hate Muslims more and more. Meanwhile, it's the Jews and the Israelis and the CIA and the MI6 that have created all these people, and they're the ones attacking Assad in Syria, and they're the ones that have attacked our enemies throughout history since the 60s, and they're the ones that Russia and Hezbollah defeated in Syria earlier, about, you know, 2000, whatever that was, 16, 17.
Right.
So it's all, you know, just there it is. And again, I think that's definitely why, you know, you had the thing in Syria with the Takfiri terrorists firing up again, because, you know, Israel had to pull out of Lebanon, and now they're mad and they want to stop the resupply of Hezbollah, because this isn't really a ceasefire. I mean, it's really just, it's pretty tenuous, put it that way. And things could change fast. And if one side gets resupplied or the other, that it could just be back in business. So I think they know they better turn off that arms spigot, and they're using it, and they're using the Takfiris to do that, because the Iranian, you know, Revolutionary Guard also has advisors in Syria helping Assad, and also, I'm sure running resupply routes to the Lebanese border to the Bekaa Valley for Hezbollah.
Well, the Golan Heights, theft. I did. What these? All these people do is lie and steal and cheat and kill.
Heights, yep.
Think about it. That's
out.
Not an exaggeration, and they do it on our dime.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Genie Oil has a big pipeline. This is one example. This company called Genie Oil has a pipeline through the Golan
Heights.
Victor Rothschild is the biggest shareholder of it. And then it's like Bill Richardson, the shareholder, and like Larry Summers and Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, that senator. Oh, yeah, all kinds of big wigs on this Genie Energy board. So, yeah, like the Golan Heights is a lot, apparently, about pipelines, you know, that go through there. Because a lot of this is all about the PARS 1 and PARS 2 oil fields in the Persian Gulf, which is Iran and Qatar, or Qatar, or whatever, however you want to say it. And it's going to determine where the oil and gas flows, whether it, you know, flows through Iranian pipelines or Russian pipelines, you know, to Asia more so, or whether it, you know, flows through ExxonMobil or that Shell pipeline to Europe. And it's all, a lot of this whole thing is about that, man. You got to zoom out and remember this is all about territory and you know, geopolitics, just like everything else. They want a greater Israel. That's why. You know, that's why they want a greater Israel, because, you know, pipelines and things like that. And so, yeah, it's Iranian. Iran is definitely becoming more of a force in that region. And
their best thing Iran has going for it are its relations with Russia and China, for that matter. Yeah. They're not going. The Russians are not going to allow Iran to get smacked. I don't see it.
They're even talking to the Saudis again, you know. And I mean, that was probably the main reason, you know, Hamas attacked, you know, when it did, because the Saudis and the Israelis were going to sign this agreement, and that they knew that was the end. I mean, if all the Arabs sign an agreement, a peace deal with Israel, then the Palestinian issue is finished. You know, they're just going to be annihilated, and so that's when they attack. So. Yeah, it's changing all, and you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop, and you know what's going to happen. Yeah, with
the NATO angle. This is a big deal, but I want to reiterate one more time: the Jewish army was getting its clock cleaned by Hezbollah. That's a fact. And so, what do they start to do? What they always do with American bombs and American jets, they start killing civilians. And after a while, you know, you kill hundreds and hundreds of civilians, you drop 20-story apartment buildings and so forth, like the same thing you saw them do in Gaza. And you say, well, this is not going to go anywhere. We're going to have to pause it. We're going to lose our whole city here. The Jews will destroy the whole damn city of Lebanon, Beirut in Lebanon. They won't stop. That's what they do. They make it so unmerciful what they do, and so miserable.
Yeah, now they're turning apparently their attention to the West Bank.
Trump already sold that to Miriam Adelson, however you want to pronounce it. He sold the whole West Bank to Miriam Adelson for $250 million. That's all the West Bank was worth. It's worth. It's priceless, really. But that was the deal. Trump is an absolute arch-Zionist. He's a Lubavitcher arch-Zionist. What did he do with Ben Shapiro before the election? He went to New York. Well, he's already there much of the time. And he went to Rabbi Schneerson's crypt and with Benny Shapiro prayed at Rabbi Schneerson's crypt. What the hell? Who does that? Schneerson founded the Lubavitch cult sect, right, in Judaism. And 60% of Jews are in that sect. I did read that. I can't prove it, but I read it, that's the majority of Jews who are very much committed to the Lubavitcher sect and Rabbi Schneerson. So anyway, everywhere you look, Dean, I would quote it if I could find it. Can you find one reason to think this is going to have a peaceful resolution? I'm talking about East versus West.
I mean, only, you know, like I say, you hear things, you don't know, like, you know, you still hear, you know, hasn't been confirmed really either way. Like, did Musk really meet with Iran's ambassador to the United Nations? Because, you know, for a while we were hearing that.
Right, I don't know.
So that would be good, okay? Those are the kind of things that are good. You know, I mean, obviously, but, you know, whether it's true or not, I have no idea. I don't know, but all I know is I just worry because, it just seems like, you know, the war, both parties are just the war party, and that's where the Democrats really went off the rails, man, honestly, was you know, it used to be just like the you know, when I was anyway in college, it was just the Republicans that were bellicose and wanted to go to war, and Reagan and the Bushes, you know, all the Republican hawk senators, you remember. And then, all the Democrats were losing elections, and so then they came and they said, oh, we got to be more, you know, we got to be more pro-war, and, you know, we got to run more, like, ex-military candidates and stuff. And, like, when I ran for Congress, like, the next year, after that, 2 years after that, they ran some military guy, and they thought, oh, that's the answer. We fucking lost, too. But, you know, they just, like, okay, so now the Democrats are the war party, and they're the ones pushing the Russia thing. But, you know, Trump says, oh, I want to make peace with Russia, but then he talks bellicose about China, and it's like, I don't know. The inertia of this country just seems to be that, you know, we always have to have a freaking enemy. We always have to go to war with somebody. And both parties are just tied up with it. You know, it's the bloodlines and the bankers pushing it, but we go along with it, and it's got to stop. I mean, when's it going to stop? You know, I thought there was some hope with the Republicans. Okay, they'll become the party. No, they didn't. They just got behind Israel, lock, stock, and barrel. Most of them got behind Ukraine, too. You got a few, but, you know, it's disappointing. And I don't know. I can't see it really ending well. I really can't. I just don't see it ending well. I said the inertia is towards war from the Americans, not from the Russians, not from the Iranians, not from any, you know, just from the Americans, you know, it's the
it's,
same.
It's kind
you
of
know,
what this country is known for. It's what it does.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sad.
It's defending
how
an
sad.
Oligarchy system of, banker hegemony called Bretton Woods, and they see the bricks coming, and this is what this is all about, is they see the change coming, and they don't want it to happen, and it's going to happen anyway, and it's just how much blood are you going to shed trying to stop it? Because everybody wants to be in the bricks now, and everybody sees Israelis for what they are now. Everybody knows Israel is a barbaric nation that has no legitimacy. Everybody knows the United States backed that nation, lock, stock, and barrel. So did the British and the Germans and most of Europe.
We're not going to change. We're going to keep backing them until the end.
We will. Until the global south increasingly moves away from us and wants to be in BRICS and is like, screw you. We don't want nothing to do with your system or anything else. And that's where it's going to happen, and it's just, you know, all this war is just an attempt to stop that from happening, but it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So
I think the die is cast, or the both die, the dice. It's obvious where this is going. There's, as I said, there's no indication it's going to go toward peace. Not that I can see. I can't see it. If I saw it, I'd tell you. I don't see it. And we always do our best here to present reality, our real reality, not AI reality, not the lies from the media complex that only are too happy to carry the Israeli lies and the DC lies. You know, they don't have a problem with that. And here, you know, when Dean, it really does concern me when the average American, and I think the younger, it's higher, but the average American is pushing now close to 5 hours a day on their phones. Now, most of that time is frivolous, stupid, completely extraneous toward life and doing something positive with your time on this planet. It's totally frivolous, and it's not real. It's fakery. It's fraud. It's a fictional realm that people are constantly dwelling in when they're on their phones. So I don't know how people are going to break away from this. And anybody who looks at the mainstream media, yes, I know their ratings are down. Yes, I know their numbers are down. Doesn't matter. The mainstream media is the dominant media, the platform of lies in this country. And that is also now stretching across the street to the other side, to the alt-news world. And you know this as well as anybody. So many people in the alt-news world now are obviously working for the man. They've been placed there. They're doing what they're supposed to do. There's a lot of crap and lies. It's almost worse than the mainstream media. You know what to expect from them, but in the alt-news world, you expect or you hope for the truth. No guarantees. Frauds everywhere. Some of the biggest names in the alt-news are 100% created and controlled. Just a fact.
They got a lot of money, man. They got a lot of money. And so
and everybody seems
everybody
to have a price, except us.
Yeah, a lot of people.
The good people, though.
Price, Yeah. But not most people seem to have price. And yeah, and no matter what it is they're doing or how they're taking their bribe, they're taking their bribe rate. It's just, yeah, it's sad. But hey, you know what? It's I'm just grateful that I never did that. And
that's part of Thanksgiving.
Some people,
absolutely.
There you go. Never did that. And so the really the jokes on it, the ones that took it, I feel sorry for them because they just, their whole soul went dark and they went to the dark side. It's so
sad. They bought into it's all about fear. They bought into the fear. Simple,
fear.
Easy to recognize, yeah. Textbook fear, psyop, and they bought into it. Remember they were lined up in cars for a mile or two to roll their sleeve up and hang their arm out the window, and they were getting shot up everywhere? Well, it's 81% of America has at least one injection, and probably the average is between 3 and 4 now. Some people have 6 or 7, and they're not stopping. They're still getting it. And these poor people are clearly on a fast track to a much shorter life than they otherwise would have had. Let's just be nice and charitable with that. It's a simple truth. We see it all the time. Eric is on next hour. We're going to follow that. New things are happening on the medical front. And I do believe that many of them are part and parcel of the effort to weaken the entire immune function of organized civilization and then begin to chip away at people and take them out through various means. You're not going to find one thing. They're going to have half a dozen things. And that's what this injection
everything.
Does. We stop counting. It's something like 20 or 30 pathways to an early death from these shots.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Primarily, it is, though. Its immune system is replaced and is not just really usurped. And then, you know, this is why we have whooping cough epidemic, like in some universities around here in South Dakota. Where's that coming from? Why are all these viruses coming back? Well, you know why? Because our immune system
being
is shot. We can't handle anything. Nothing.
You weaken the whole herd, and then you start to place various new strains, new viruses, or old viruses coming back, and all of a sudden the human body can no longer fight them off, and it gets taken down.
Pretty simple.
And it's not hard to figure out, but whoever was behind this thing was Satan's own, believe me. This thing is really evil.
Well, that's the only department that gives you any hope, I mean, other than, I guess, Tulsi Gabbard. We were talking about, I was saying Secretary of State last time, I think, we were election night when we were talking about, but how about the health people? But what about Bhattacharya and what about, you know, of course, obviously Kennedy, so, but then he also appointed Bhattacharya, the NIH guy. So that's kind of, I mean, at least, I don't know, it's something, I guess, you know.
I don't know how RFK is going to reconcile with Trump and Trump's new Surgeon General, that Fox News
Dr.
commentator.
Neshawat,
or Neshawat, as they say. Neshawat, Jeanette. Janet or Jeanette. I don't know what it is yet. I have to figure it out. It's not a high priority for me. But just say Janet Neshawat is now the Surgeon General, or will be in about 8 weeks. She's an idiot. She's totally pro-Big Pharma, totally pro-vax, raving about Trump being the hero of the masses with his warp speed program. And oh man, it's sick. How's RFK gonna come to terms with that?
Yeah.
Those are absolutely diametrically opposed. Those positions.
Yeah, that's what's going on. It seems like, you know, he's got, just like with Tulsi, intelligence, but then you got Waltz, and then you got, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so it's mostly idiots, and then you throw a good person. I don't know, but anyway,
Waltz and Gorka. Come on, Trump is not making all these appointments. He's just probably doing what he's told, basically, or what the majority is suggesting he ought to do. He's kind of a follower in that respect. So, well, what do you think? What do you think I should do? But again, he's right off Trump 2.0, doing the same thing he did in 2016. Rather than go down as a truly great American patriot president, he's now packing the roster with frauds and people that I wouldn't even invite in the front door. Just garbage. No. No, thank you.
It's pretty interesting. Robert Redfield, did you catch that? You know, Redfield saying that.
He said a couple good things lately. I can't pull him up right now, but He did.
Well, just that he said the U.S. military basically brought it to China, just like the Chinese government was saying. And that, you know, the only fault of the Chinese was, well, maybe they didn't regulate their lab good enough. But yeah, he was pretty much saying, yeah, it was a U.S. military deal.
Yes, it basically came out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Ralph Baric is the guy who was there for years and years, top scientist there. And believe me, that's where the bedrock of this weapon was formulated. And it went, there was a stopover at some institution in Canada, and it went right to Wuhan. So
yeah,
you haven't seen Ralph Baric in the news at all. He's hiding. I think he's laying low. I would.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, you better.
Now, this thing, you cannot change the genetics of a species and not expect to have catastrophic end results. You can't. And these things are genetically changed. You can't take a pill and reverse these shots either. All you can do is try to deal with the symptoms, and the symptoms are usually catastrophic. Vax injuries, these are not lightweight things. Anyway. So ain't things great?
Don't know.
You know, the sad thing is, Dean, it's all by design. Not our design. Their design. And they're killing us just like the Jews kill Palestinians in Gaza. It may not be as blatant and as spectacular as a bombing of a 20-story building, taking it down with everybody inside. But these injections, believe me, are just devastating to the body. You know that. And all of you listening know that. So anyway, it's... And when you try to talk to people who don't get it, Dean, they don't want to hear it. Leave me alone with that conspiracy crap. The government wouldn't do that to us. And I see this. Who's that? The black composer? I want to say John Legend. Is that right? Isn't that last name?
Yeah,
Legend.
Yeah. Doing his little vaccine commercial. Yeah. So,
yes, I saw one. I couldn't believe it.
Illuminati show. I mean,
yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like Snoop Dogg. He's one of their guys. You know, he's one of their. You can just tell who is. Like Reba McEntire is one of the Satanists. I mean, she's everywhere. It's like these people are just everywhere. All of a sudden, there's like these little Satanists. John Legend's one of those.
Right.
And he probably gets little boys or something. I don't know what he gets.
Well, there's always a trade, and yes,
these are nasty people. They're not. These are total Satanists, total Illuminati shills. Yeah.
Well, they all know Diddy. They all know about Diddy and his parties.
Yeah, tied with that. Sure. Yeah. And Epstein and all the way up and just all the pedophiles.
Oh, by the way, not that we care, but speaking of Diddy and his white freakouts or whatever the hell they were called, supposedly, let me think now. It's the actor, Tom Hanks. Is now being rumored, and this doesn't surprise me, rumored, no proof, rumored, but pretty interesting rumors, that he was as diabolically evil and satanic in his behaviors at some of those parties as some people could even imagine. Some can't. But that's the word. Now, it's not me talking. I'm just reporting what I've read, what's been in the media.
But that
talking about
been,
Hanks.
To me, that guy's creepy. He's always been creepy.
Thank you. I agree 100%. Just, always creep me out.
Yeah.
Always.
Creepy. Like Mr. Rogers, kind of creepy, you know?
I didn't see the movie. I wouldn't go there. Want to. Oh, and Ellen. Ellen is another one. Now, she's supposedly left the country. Yeah, degenerate. She supposedly left the country. And maybe she left the country so she's not going to be indicted. In this Diddy thing.
I imagine. I mean, probably. But, yeah, good riddance anyway.
Oh, amen.
But, yeah, Interpol is always handy for things like that, too. So, you can't hide. But, yeah, it's just disgusting. I don't know. We just, again, it's just you got to hope that people can just, I don't know, overcome it. But, you know, it is hard because the technology, again, it's just like they're just trying to recruit people into their satanic cult with their screens and their stupid messages about everything, and man, a lot of people are just open to it, and nobody can say no to anything, and everybody's just like, I don't know, too open, almost like too open to things, and open-minded to things, and just like, right now is the time. Just right or wrong, pick a side, you know, and fight, and then fight. Because you know what right and wrong is. And
there really is.
You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem.
That's right.
You don't by now. Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
You're going to be my enemy.
Right.
I'm going to fight you. Yeah, because I hate to say it, but, I mean, you know, if you don't know right and wrong, you're not going to be helping. Because they're going to come at us, right? I mean, they're already coming at us with just the biggest lies and the biggest, most sophisticated ways to try to corrupt people.
Correct.
And people just aren't equipped for it because they don't understand, because they were robbed of all the Gnostic writings about the evil in the world and that it exists because it was left out of the Bible and every other religion that was left out too. And except, of course, the Babylonians know because they are the evil. But they don't understand. They don't understand the evil. And so they don't know it's coming at them. They don't know that this is being cooked up. They don't know that they're being depopulated through vaccinations and war. And they don't know. And it's really, I don't know. But it's like I say, it's time to know. It's time to either you know or you don't. And if you don't know, you're going to either die or become a satanic transhuman robot zombie, part of the problem.
Oh, here, let's not forget to mention how AI, and you know this, and many of you listening now are beginning to get it, AI has changed everything already. And it is teaching itself 25 hours a day. It is becoming more competent, and I think it's actually far further along the road of development than they're admitting. I think GPT-5, not that I care, I don't even have 4, I don't know, I don't use it. GPT-5 is, I believe, already been essentially perfected, but they can't let it go because it has too much intelligence, and the average person won't be able to use it. It's going to be hard for them. Here's why. GPT-4 has an equivalent human IQ, it is said, of about 150. That's Einstein territory. That's GPT-4. GPT-5 will have 10 times that much intelligence or IQ on a human basis, so it'll have a human IQ equivalent of approximately 1,500. Now, what 120 IQ human, and that's far above average, is even going to be able to stay with it? An intelligence that is 1,500 IQ. That's crazy. So it's too much. They don't need it. That's why they keep amending GPT-4 and giving new versions, little addendums and things that people might want to sign up for. But this thing is out of control. And I can further state why I say that based on the actions of Sammy Altman. What did Altman do with OpenAI? He dissolved the entire bureau in OpenAI that had as its prime directive the oversight of the development of AI to make sure it didn't get out of control. What did Altman do? He dissolved that oversight. It's gone. There's nothing holding them back. And I think that AI is just running away from the average person's ability to understand it. It's that pervasive now. It can do almost anything. And it's being used by the evil side to do endless things to make our lives more controlled and surveilled. Everything
it couldn't,
is,
be, used
is,
any, it couldn't be used any other way because it's artificial intelligence, which means it's not real intelligence, which means it's stupidity amplified, which means, it can spit out a lot of facts and it can be a computer, it can do math really good, but it's really stupid otherwise. In other words, it doesn't have a moral code. There's no right or wrong involved, which makes it really fucking stupid, you see, people. And this is the problem.
You.
But they want the people to worship it and think, oh, my God, I wish I had an IQ that big. Oh, wow, there's no chance that humans are that smart. This thing's so much better than us. But it's the fallen angels. It's the archons. It's the Anunnaki. It's the AI. Get it? It's the same thing. Get it? It's the same thing. Lucifer.
Right.
Whatever you want to call it. Satan? Okay, fine. Good. Evil? Fine. All good. All synonymous with AI to me. To me, and it's artificial. Remember, intelligence, not real intelligence. Real intelligence is wisdom.
Oh, it's the ultimate. It's think
first,
about it like
then you fill it in with facts, not the other way around, where you have you know, your head's full of facts because you've been on the fucking computer all day, learning absolutely nothing but filling your head with facts, but you have no moral code or any way to put that together to make a difference, a positive difference in the world.
No.
If you can't use knowledge to make a positive difference in the world, it's not real intelligence, not real knowledge.
I like
it's artificial intelligence.
We're supposed to leave this world better than before we got here, even if it's in a little tiny, teeny way. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but we're failing. Our culture now has been overtaken by some of the darkest wizardry I can imagine. People are no longer proactive in their thought. They react. They're Pavlovian, completely Pavlovian as a mass. Now, that's not you people. Most people are completely conditioned to respond. They don't think proactively anymore. I've said this 100 times. It's the truth. So that's what they want, and that's what they got. It's all eye candy or mind candy. It's just designed to do what it's done. Take
just
total control.
Yeah.
That too.
That's right.
That too.
Then just waiting for somebody else to do you a good turn. That's what the whole world's doing now. Nobody's doing good turns anymore. Nobody's going out proactively without anybody having to trigger them or, you know, make them react, like some reactor. No, they can't even do that anymore. They can't just go out and do a good thing for people, it just seems like. You know, it's always like waiting for somebody to do good things for them now.
Isn't that the truth?
About them. And it's just like hanging their fucking head and poor little me. But I don't know. It's just like this combination of narcissism, extreme self-hatred. Oh, man, it's terrible. But it's exactly what they're trying to do to us with the AI and the internet and the high technology, which is really, again, it's really all evil. All that stuff's meant to just destroy us, and it is destroying us. And plus, our eyes are going to heck because of the blue light and all these other things that are happening because of Wi-Fi and because of 5G and, you know, God.
You know, another reason the eyes are going, and blue light, but it's sitting at your desk or wherever and holding the focus of your vision at the same length all the time. You're not flexing your lenses. You're looking at the same flat screen, let's say three feet away, 2.5 feet away, and you don't move, so your eyes don't get exercises, and the lens becomes rigid, and then your vision starts to go, and that's a fact. So there's another one. That's crazy.
Very true.
All right, Dean, thank you. That was really very informative and enlightening. Thanks for sharing, as always. And
you too, man. Always, brother. And
bless you and yours. And I hope we're here next month.
I hope so too. If so, we'll talk to you then.
Okay, brother.
Always enjoy.
All right.
So thanks for having me on. Okay. Yep.
You bet, Dean. Night. All right, Mr. Dean Henderson. We will be back in just a few minutes. Erica and I have more to share with you, so that comes up next. Hold on.